WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. For a while, it seemed that talking about the U.S. federal budget deficit had gone out of style. But as is often the case, things go in and out of fashion, and recently released data regarding America's ballooning deficits are attracting plenty of attention. During the first 10 months of the current federal fiscal year, the U.S. government's budget deficit totaled $684 billion, according to the Treasury Department. That was 21% greater than the $566 billion deficit registered during the same period 1 year earlier. While growing deficits are in part the consequence of recent reductions in business and individual tax rates, government spending has also been ramping higher. In recent months, rising government spending on Homeland Security and interest paid on public debt have generated particularly large impacts. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, to finance the growing deficit, the U.S. Treasury Department has bolstered bond issuance. The department intends to borrow another $329 billion from this July through September. That's up by more than $55 billion from the agency's April estimate. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. There are many positive aspects to rapid economic growth. More jobs are created, small businesses are more likely to flourish, incomes rise faster, tax receipts expand, allowing for greater supply of government services. But as with all things economic, every positive action is met by some form of negative reaction. While many people prefer slower economic growth due to concerns regarding traffic and overcrowded schools, an arguably equally important issue pertains to the cost of housing. Take Seattle as an example. As reported by The Economist, for a third consecutive year, Seattle has more construction cranes in operation than any city in America, three times as many as in New York. Since 2010, Seattle has expanded more quickly than any large American city, thanks in part to companies like Amazon and Microsoft. One result has been surging real estate prices. By September of last year, the average single-family residence was renting for about $2,900 per month. But over the past year, Seattle has experienced the largest decline in rents among any of the nation's 100 largest cities. Why? Because Seattle is adding housing rapidly in an effort to avoid the levels of scarcity that characterize communities like New York, San Francisco, and San Jose. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Rising home prices and mortgage rates have resulted in the worst housing affordability in about a decade. That is translating into slower home sales around the country. Nationally, home sales were 2% lower during the second quarter than they were during the same period 1 year ago. As indicated by writer Laura Cusisto, the slowdown in home sales activity has been particularly apparent in the West. As indicated by the National Association of Realtors, while the Western United States, home to rapidly expanding metropolitan areas like Seattle, Portland, San Jose, and Los Angeles, is experiencing the fastest job growth, its sales are falling because prices have risen so dramatically over the past 6 years. According to a report released by the California Association of Realtors, only 26% of California households can afford to purchase a home at the median price of $597,000. Back in 2012, 56% of California's households could afford to purchase the median-priced home. The federal tax bill that went into effect in January and reduced incentives for home ownership in more expensive markets is also having an impact, including in states like New Jersey, Connecticut, and Maryland. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. You've probably heard that inflationary pressures are building, thanks in large measure to a strong U.S. economy. According to recently released Labor Department data, consumer prices are up 2.9% over the past year, a pace last exceeded in late 2011. Core consumer prices, which exclude volatile food and energy-related expenses, recently registered their largest gain since September of 2008. Among the items becoming more expensive are rent, gasoline, and health care. These rising prices are eating up much of America's wage gains. As indicated by the Labor Department, for just the second time in 4 years, average hourly earnings, when adjusted for inflation, declined over the past 12 months. Workers still came out ahead, however, but not because of their average hourly pay. Rather, it's because they are working more hours on average. Despite the recent setback in real wage growth, many economists expect that things will get better over the near term. Low unemployment and solid economic growth should help drive up wages further, and the recent pickup in inflation is due in part to higher energy costs, which tend to swing wildly and could recede. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. What renders people economically successful? It stands to reason that intelligence represents one factor, but it is hardly the only one. A new study supplied by Miriam Jensowski at the University of Copenhagen sheds light on the question of success. Jensowski revisits data from California schools collected during the early 1920s. The data focus on students who scored in the top 0.5% of the IQ distribution, which back then meant a score of 140 or higher. The data then reflect how well these students, nearly 900 men and 700 women, did through 1991. The students were rated on their personality traits, traits like conscientiousness and extroversion. The data indicate that these two characteristics really matter. For instance, men who measure as one standard deviation higher on conscientiousness earn an average nearly $600,000 more over their lifetimes. Being an extrovert also helps. Those who are one standard deviation higher than average along that dimension earn about $500,000 more over a lifetime. But for women, being an extrovert is more strongly correlated with higher earnings than is conscientiousness. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.